Dear friends, in the talk on how God created man, a reference was made to the rib resection performed by God himself as on Adam as a preliminary to the building up of Eve. This reference aroused such interest amongst those who heard it that I feel we might expand our consideration of this aspect of the subject. God is, of course, first in every aspect of man's origin and in every work for good upon him or for him. It was not good for man to be alone. Therefore, for his great good, God performed the first surgical operation under general anesthesia upon Adam's body. A double first, of course, the first use of a general anesthetic and the first surgical procedure, a rib resection. We know that Adam was susceptible to pain, probably acutely so, owing to the undimmed sensations of an unfallen nature. We are aware of this because our Lord Jesus Christ suffered pain and agony by scourging and bruising, and on the cross by crucifixion. Since his was an unfallen body, with not the slightest diminution of any of its senses, no words of ours can express, nor can we ever fully understand what he suffered in his own body on the tree. In the Garden of Eden, God brought into being Adam's bride, taken from his side, without one pang of suffering. However, our Lord's bride was brought into existence also in the garden, for in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, the Garden of Calvary, to the accompaniment of all the possible pains of death, unmitigated by even the slightest human palliative, for he refused the proffered wine mingled with myrrh. He paid the full price. As we have pointed out, God, under general anesthesia, removed one of Adam's ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. We must repeat that this is a purely factual record, almost a prosaic one, just such as a contemporary surgeon would make in his operation records. I remarked in the section under consideration, if this is done carefully and the periosteum left, the rib will reform in an aseptic case. So far as I remember, it is the only bone in the body which will do this. No doubt that is why God chose it. I would add that I have been an ophthalmic surgeon for the past 45 years, hence my memory of general surgical matters is very dim. Since the statement just quoted aroused such general interest, it was necessary for me to check up on it. I therefore visited the library of the Australian Medical Association in Brisbane and delved into textbooks on thoracic surgery, bone grafts, etc. However, I failed to find much on rib reformation. I noted, nevertheless, that the sites for obtaining bone grafts for any purpose whatever are practically confined to these three: the tibia, that is the leg bone, the ilium, the pelvic bone, and the ribs. In pursuance of my researches, I got into touch with the leading thoracic surgeon of Brisbane. He kindly supplied the following information, which is given here in a summarized and simplified form. He started by saying that although all books on chest surgery state that the ribs will reform perfectly, it was not quite thus. He showed me a number of X-ray plates demonstrating rib reformation. Many showed great deformity of the ribs owing to extensive removal of underlying structures. But in at least one plate where the supporting structures had been untouched, I could not detect a trace of the former rib resection. He said, too, that in at least one case that he had sent for X-ray some years after rib resection, the radiologist, who did not know that this person had been operated upon, had returned the report that the bones of the chest were absolutely normal. There is no need to point out to readers of Scripture that after God's rib resection, there was no distortion of the supporting structures. What astonished me was this expert's remark that this reformation of the rib proceeds with remarkable rapidity. He demonstrated this by X-ray pictures showing advanced reformation of the ribs after 2 weeks or so. And he added that if the surgeon has to perform a second operation in the area, it is advisable to do it before 3 weeks have elapsed. Otherwise, he will encounter such advanced reformation of the ribs that the use of the scalpel is impossible and the bone resection forceps must be used. Students of Scripture will be interested to note that I asked my colleague this question. If one needed a bone graft for any purpose, and it was necessary that the donor should be ambulatory and functional as soon as possible after awaking from the anesthetic, would it not be correct to say that the site of election for taking this would unquestionably be the rib? He agreed that this was so. We see, therefore, that God selected the appropriate bone for the purpose of building Eve. And this bone was one whose rapid reformation caused Adam to suffer no incapacity. For with what tremendous speed the God-imparted repair mechanism of man's unfallen, perfect body must have obliterated all traces of this divine operation. Is it drawing too ideal a conclusion if we picture this repair process taking place and concluding simultaneously with the building up of Eve, so that when, at the first wedding, God gave away the first bride, there was no spot, wrinkle or blemish in this majestic pair? As for God, his way is perfect. Since writing this, I have come across an interesting appendix to this little paper, and I will now read it to you. It is an extract from Illustration from Biblical Archaeology by D.J. Wiseman, Professor of Assyriology at the London University, in his second edition, October 1963, of his book. I know Donald very well. I've known him since he was a little child. He says, on page 9, recently published Sumerian texts provide earlier parallels to the Hebrew account of paradise and of the fall than was hitherto possible. Another Sumerian text describes the paradise at Dilmun, that is the Persian Gulf, which was naturally irrigated by fresh water. See Genesis 2:6. Here birth was without pain or travail until Enki was smitten with a deadly curse after eating 8 plants. Another text, also a copy dating from the early 2nd millennium, describes a special creation of woman who is named Nintai, a Sumerian expression which can equally be translated the lady of the rib and the lady who makes live, which recalls Eve, the mother of all living, fashioned from Adam's rib. Surely it is unnecessary to point out the remarkable confirmation which this extra-biblical source gives to the history of creation in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. I trust we shall not hear any more expressions such as highly sophisticated event symbolism, etc., applied to Genesis in general and these 3 chapters in particular, especially by professed believers in the plenary inspiration of the Scriptures.